This is the PR Podcast, a show about how public relations helps you tell your story to the world. We talk with great PR practitioners who have the skills, creativity, and just plain savvy to get their clients noticed. Now here's your host, Jody Fisher.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to the PR Podcast. I'm Jody Fisher. Thanks for joining us. Well, we are down to the last couple of weeks of 2024. Hoping it's been a great year for you. Echoing what I said on social media a couple of weeks ago, it's all about holiday stories right now. If it's not breaking news or something that's going on in the world, it's holiday-related stories. And I just got back this morning from a visit with a client and some reporters doing a story that would have been a good story any other day of the year, but because it's happening at this time of the year, there is a holiday spin on it. So if you have stories that are going on now, and even if you're trying to pitch stories, honestly, if you're trying to pitch stories right now, forget it. Don't bother. Just pitch them in July, in January. You can pitch them in July too, but pitch them in January because there's just too much going on. And, you know, over that 1 week stretch between the 25th of December and the 1st of January, it's all police scanner breaking news stuff anyway. So don't try to shoehorn your way in. Wait till the eyeballs are back. Wait till you can plan. Wait till you can be smart about it. But hope this year has been really good for you. We got a couple shows still left in the year, so we'll get to those. We won't sign off completely here. Do hope that it's been a great year for you and that it's been a great year. Did I say 2024? We're coming into 2024. God, we're just getting rid of 2023. Anyway, I'm going to bail myself out here and turn things over to our guests. Let's get on with our show for today and introduce him. Jared Mead is Associate Vice President of Meehan Business Advisors and founder and principal of Rain Strategy Group. He brings nearly two decades of public relations experience to the table with an emphasis in the healthcare and education sectors. He's held various leadership positions in the Public Relations Society of America, including the immediate past chair for the East Central District and the past president of the Northwest Ohio chapter. I love that he's so involved in our industry. And he's also a member of the Board of Advisors for the Museum of Public Relations. We've had them as a guest before. And he's a member of the Public Relations and Communications Association and co-chair of the PRCA International University Advisory Group. If that wasn't enough, he's also an adjunct instructor at Bowling Green State University and Eastern Michigan University. Good that he could slide us into his busy schedule here. Jared, welcome to the PR Podcast.
Thank you, Jody. Very excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
How are you getting all this stuff done?
I ask myself that same question every day. I'm not sure. I just wake up and plug along and just start checking things off the list. And hopefully everything gets done by the end of the day.
It's so great. Tell us a little bit. Give us a little clue in, you know, we ran down your resume here, but your businesses and your background.
Sure. So as you said, I've been in public relations for nearly 20 years. Actually, this month will be 20-year anniversary. So So I've been doing that for a long time. My career started out in higher education, moved into healthcare, and since then, it's kind of spanned all sectors, have clients in all different industries. So for me, I love public relations. I feel like public relations is one of the few careers or few industries where I really feel like the work we do every day, that we can actually have an effect on the world at large and how things happen and how things are talked about. And so for me, it's much more than just my job. It's really a passion.
It really is true. And I can hear that passion coming through in your voice. And it's clear with all of the industry stuff that you're involved in that you really do care about our industry. And it's important because I think, you know, I've said this before too, that there's this pop culture misconception that we are somehow spinners or that we play fast and loose with the truth or that we manipulate people's thoughts through the media, which is, you know, look, I'm not here to say that that doesn't happen, but you and I both know that 99.9% of PR people in the world are just looking to help their clients tell the stories about the work that they're doing, that is important work in their communities. Would you agree?
Yeah, I do agree with that. I think, unfortunately, the few, you know, what I'll term bad actors in our industry are the ones who get the attention. They're the ones who kind of make the news. Most of what we do is behind the scenes. And because of that, we've all fallen under that black cloud. And so it's kind of sullied the reputation of the industry as a whole. Because that's what people see. That's what people hear about. Those are the people that they see on TV, the things that they've done or see the read about them in the newspapers. And so, unfortunately, it just kind of casts that dark cloud across all of us.
Yeah, even down to, I was a fan of the show Succession. I don't know if you watched it.
I didn't, and, but I read about it.
There was a moment, you know, it's all palace intrigue stuff and loosely based on a Murdoch style media family empire. But there was a moment in the show where there was a crisis. Let's just leave it at that. And it's the PR people, the character playing the PR people, who step up and said, well, we could plant some stories about them and we could blah, 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 and do this and all this black ops kind of stuff. And I'm screaming at the TV and my wife says, what are you? I'm like, that's, everybody thinks that's what we do. That is not what we do.
Yeah, I'll tell you a little story about that. So one of the first semesters I was teaching at Bowling Green, one of the things I did is I went around the room and I asked all of my students kind of what brought them to PR, what made them want to join the profession. And not to disparage this particular student, but I got to one of the students and their answer to me was that they had watched the TV show Scandal. And so that's what made them want to become a PR professional. And I told them, I said, I have to tell you, PR is nothing like what you see on Scandal. We don't do any of those things. And if we did just a small amount of what you see on that show, we'd all be in prison. So if that's your reason for joining, you might
want to... That is exactly right.
You might want to go back and kind of reread what it is we do and why we do it. So yeah, unfortunately, yeah, it's true.
It's either that or people think all we do is go to parties, right? Yes. And, you know, and we wine and dine reporters. And then, you know, we pull favors when we need them, which is... Anybody who's ever pitched a reporter knows impossible. Ain't gonna happen.
Yeah, I've yet to meet a reporter who will do something just as a favor. It hasn't happened yet.
Exactly. The most and I'm fine with that. Don't get me wrong. I'm fine with that. Yes. The most favor you get is basically your story will be placed on the top of the pile for consideration.
Yep. Yep.
Exactly. Well, tell me a little bit about your work. You know, you talked about educating the next generation of PR professionals, but also let's talk a little bit about our industry. And you had some thoughts here specifically on licensing for PR professionals. And I think that's something that I've always been intrigued by. We even lack, with the exception of, you know, formal higher ed programs, you know, in public relations, communications, and things like that, we really lack any kind of formal licensure or credentials or something you can pull out the way, you know, a doctor or a lawyer or, you know, name your profession might have. You can get some accreditations in PR, but it's kind of not, at least for my dollar, not on the same level. Does that hinder us as an industry?
I think it does. And many people may not realize that this is a conversation that's been going on since PR became a profession. As many of your listeners probably know, Edward Bernays, who's considered, you know, the father of public relations, he talked about this throughout his whole career. Towards the end of his life in the, I think, early to mid 90s, he even championed a bill in the Senate in Massachusetts that would actually kind of not require, but set up a voluntary registration for PR professionals, because he thought that really the only way for us to become the respected profession that we should be would to have some sort of licensing or registration. I know there's a lot of people that kind of balk at that, and they think that it'll lead to less people joining the profession, less diverse people joining the profession. And there may be some truth to that. I think there's some things we need to look at when it comes to licensing. But I really feel like the only way for us to kind of get away from kind of those bad actors giving the reputation to the industry is to have some sort of licensure or registration. So I think there's a lot of things that need to kind of be looked into before we get to that point. But I really think it's where we need to go if we want our profession to be as respected as, you know, a lawyer would be or any other profession of that type.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. I hear the trepidation and I share it. You know, it is a slippery slope and it's got to be done in the right way. But in the spirit of it, I think it would be a good thing for our profession, if for no other reason than just what you alluded to, we would be able to get the bad apples out of the industry, because it's the bad apples that really poison what we do and give us, I think, you know, with a broad brush, the reputation that PR people have, and then pop culture, you know, scandal and on the like, you know, just kind of pile on.
Well, and a lot of people look at PR as what they see in the news as publicists, what they see in Hollywood. And while they may use some of the same tactics that we may use, to me, it's a totally different profession. They do things a lot different than we do. They're really just looking at getting their clients' media attention, which I think in public relations, we're trying to do much more than that. That's a piece of it, getting that attention, but it's much more about their reputation. It's much more about that connection between them and whoever their public might be, and that mutual understanding. So I think public relations is much deeper than what most publicists do, and I'm not meaning to disparage them in any way, but I think it's much deeper. But unfortunately, as you said, that's what people immediately think of when they think of PR, as kind of a publicist or a spin doctor, as you mentioned earlier.
Yeah, it also opens up the conversation that is very important to me, I'm sure to you as well, about ethics, you know, about the way that you do your job. We work in facts. You know, good PR people work in facts and truth. And my old mentor, Howard Rubenstein, had that Mark Twain quote on his desk, said, if you tell the truth, you never have to remember anything. And he was famous for many things. And the thing that I remember him most for is he never had to take a note.
Yeah. Yeah.
He just listened and he remembered everything. And he always told the truth. Let's talk a little bit about ethics and about enforcement, too. You know, how do you do your job in an ethical way? How do you sort of explain it and position it?
Yeah, so it's a tough question to answer, because in our profession, there is no one code of ethics that everyone adheres to. There is no, there's nothing that we're required, again, because there is no licensure, there's nothing we're required to sign up for and say, this is how we will perform our job. So it's really left up to every practitioner and what they view as kind of their ethical framework. Now, many of us who are part of different PR associations like PRSA, we would say we adhere to the code of that organization. But again, I think it's one of those things that a lot of people, I don't think, really have taken the time to sit down and think through what ethics means for our profession. Excuse me. So for me specifically, it's like you said, it's really looking at every day with all the work I do, the writing, the communicating with media. Am I being truthful? Am I telling the truth? Is, you know, even in that small instance, because I've had this come up in my career working for various organizations where they want me to share something with the media and technically it's the truth, but there's a little something being left out that will cause that reporter to kind of assume something that is more favorable than maybe it should be. So to me, and kind of my ethical framework, to me, that is the same as lying. Leaving something out that kind of changes the perception report, to me, that's the same as if you just sold them an out and out lie. But I know there's many people that wouldn't see it that way. So again, for me specifically, I've sat down and kind of just thought through my own ethics, my own values, and how that relates to my profession. I know this may not work for everyone, but I'm also, I'm very active in my Christian faith. And so a lot of even just my ethics come from, for those who have read the Bible, know the Bible, there's a lot of things in there about communications and the right way to communicate and how we should be looking at that as a whole. And so a lot of even my own ethics comes from that, of just telling the truth, being honest, trying to understand people, trying not to judge someone, giving people that opportunity to share their side of the story. So again, that's how I've done it. And I think every practitioner kind of does it their own way, only because we don't have one standard that we say as a profession, this is what we're going to adhere to. It's really up to each practitioner.
Yeah, that's a great way of explaining your view on it. And it's bonkers to me when people want to, as you put it, even if they're not straight out lying to somebody, that they're leaving little bits and pieces of information out that they think will work in their favor, because a reporter does what? Asks questions.
Right, exactly.
And if there's blood in the water for a reporter, it's finding out something that they weren't told.
Well, and what people don't understand is the first time a reporter finds out that there was something that you didn't share, you've lost all credibility with them and everything.
Well, oh, that too. Absolutely. Out, right.
They're going to question everything you do from that point on.
Yeah. But there's no better way to get a reporter to run in a different direction.
Exactly.
Right. That yeah. you didn't want it to go than to leave something out and let them have them discover it.
Yes.
And now the story that you pitched or the outcome that you wanted with this interaction with a reporter now has gone completely off the rails. And I'm here to tell you from experience, there's no getting it back.
Exactly. Exactly. No, I agree with that. And you know as well as I do, and we share a mutual friend, Molly McPherson, who does crisis communication. And so, you know, she says many times that in a crisis, that's usually what starts or causes the crisis to be even worse, is when you find yourself in an issue and you're trying to kind of lie your way out of it, talk your way out of it, kind of spin it in a certain way. It's just creating a bigger mess. So that's why, you know, as you mentioned earlier, when people call me a spin doctor or say I spin the truth, it really kind of grates on my nerves, because to me, that does the opposite of what I'm always trying to do. I know you try to spin anything and you're just going to create a bigger crisis than you're already in.
Yeah, that is definitely a four-letter word for me. Yeah. And yeah. I am four-letter word friendly, but I do not like that yeah. S-P-I-N word at all. And I don't think any real PR people like it at all.
No, and I will say I've heard a few PR people say it here and there, and it really is like nails on a chalkboard to me. It sends shivers up my spine every time I hear it. So
yeah, to the point where, you know, I'll have casual conversations with clients or prospective clients, and they'll use that phrase, well, how do you want to spin this? And yeah. I'm like, dude, stop right now. Exactly. Don't even go there. We are not spinning a thing. We may be telling your story from your perspective, but to me, spin equals L-I-E with a capital and an exclamation point. It just doesn't work.
Well, that's I like the way you phrase this. People have to understand the difference between spin and perspective. You can have a different perspective. That's fine. But when you're trying to spin it to look different than what it really is, that's when you're getting yourself into trouble.
It leads into a discussion about a word that I love, and I'm sure you do too, which is authenticity.
Yeah.
Why is authenticity so important in what we do?
I think it's important for a lot of reasons. One, because right now, and you're noticing this with every generation, they're demanding it more. They want organizations that they are, you know, giving their hard-earned dollar to, their time to be authentic. They want them to share some of the same values that they share. So that's one reason, is just because the public's demanding it. I think the other is because when you're not authentic in your communication and what you're putting out there in your brand reputation, it may work for a while. People may believe what you're putting out there, but at some point, your actions are not going to fit with what you're saying. And when that happens, you've lost your public, you've lost that trust that you've worked so hard to build. So authenticity is important because that's what builds that trust. And you know, as well as I do, Jody, once that trust with the public is gone, you might get it back, but it's going to take many, many years and a lot of hard work. But most of the time you never win it back to what it was once you've lost it.
Yeah, without a doubt, the authenticity and trust going hand in hand, and you lose the trust, not just with the audiences, but with the reporters, right, with the people who you are transacting with every single day. And if you get, you know, if your email gets blacklisted, yeah, you know, goes straight into the delete bin, or they don't pick up the phone and answer your phone call, you know, you might as well just find another career.
Correct. Yeah,
frankly, I think it's the only, I'm sure I could disprove this if I thought hard enough about it. Maybe the only career where that actually happens.
Yeah.
I mean, you could go set up and be a dentist in another community, right? And it's no big deal. You could set up and be, I mean, I guess you could move cities with as a PR person too, but you spend years building relationships with reporters, specifically in a geography. To rebuild that is impossible.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, one of the things that I found that really fascinating when I first got in the profession is really how small the profession is. I mean, people think, oh, well, there's PR people all over the world. It's a large profession. Like you're saying, oh, I could go somewhere else. It really is a small world. And you will I think you'll find it hard, even if you were to move to another state, another city, maybe even to another country, to really find a place where nobody has a connection with you or someone you've worked with or a reporter. It is a much smaller world than people think it is.
Yeah, you bet. Let's talk a little bit about the future of PR. Again, pivoting back to the fact that you are training the next generation of PR and communication professionals. What are you hearing from them and what are you teaching them? Where is it at right now?
So for me, really, in what I'm seeing when I'm talking to students and just from my own career, I really think PR needs to get back to the basics. And what I mean by that is that more human approach. You know, we talk every day about what AI is going to do to the profession, what all of these new technologies are going to do. But I really think we as a profession need to get back to that basic part of understanding our audiences, their perspective, their language, their values, their beliefs, and incorporating empathy, humor, understanding all of that into our communication, into what it is that we do. I get pushback on this a lot. You know, I have colleagues when asked what is the most important thing in a PR professional when they're coming into the profession. And usually you hear writing. Writing is usually what everyone says. They have to be good writers. And I agree. We have to be, you know, good at that. We want people to have that talent. But for me, I feel like you can teach someone to become a better writer. The part you can't really teach somebody, it's something that's innately in them. And I think what draws people to our profession is that connection with other people, that ability to understand them and to have empathy for where they're at, to listen to them and to be able to share their perspective, even if you don't necessarily, it's not your perspective, but to have that connection to be able to communicate that to other people. To me, that's really something hard to teach somebody. So again, I think you can teach someone to be a better writer. I don't think you can teach someone to how to connect on that human level as easily. I think PR people, again, I think that's why some people are drawn to this profession. They just innately know how to connect with people and how to better understand them. And so for me, I think that's where PR needs to get back to, is kind of that basic connection of human behavior, understanding people. Because if we're able to do that, it's going to then... that's going to feed itself into the tactics that we do, the writing that we produce. And I think that's something that's really important.
I think you just penned a new definition of our industry. That's that's it in a nutshell, man.
Yes,
and
yeah.
A beautiful place to end up our conversation, Jared. Thank you so much here. We are going to pivot now into the rapid fire question portion of our podcast. This is where we steal a page from Inside the Actor's Studio. I'm probably going to have to update that reference. That is a little Gen X-y at this point. Right?
I knew what you were talking about.
For 3 years. So maybe we'll freshen it up for 2024. But for now, Jared, we're going to ask you a series of rapid fire questions meant to elicit a simple answer, maybe a laugh or two with your indulgence. Let's begin with rapid fire question number one. What is your favorite news source?
My answer to that would probably be Apple News, because I like to read a lot of different things. So that curates all the different topics that I'm looking at, the top news of the day. So Apple News is where I go first every morning.
I like it a lot, too. I don't go there first, but I do have it up on my iPad on my desk throughout the day. It's a nice little feed. And just like anything else that whether it's Apple or Amazon or anybody does, the more you use it, the better it gets at understanding what you want. Not necessarily predicting what you want or being, you know, creepy or anything. Yeah. But the more you use it, I think the smarter it gets with delivering you the content that you want. And it's pretty programmable, too. It's pretty awesome.
And I will say,
rapid fire question. Yeah.
Oh, I was just saying, I'm kind of old. I like holding a newspaper. So if I have a chance to actually do that, it's usually New York Times or the Wall Street Journal is what I'll sit down with. So
I love the old standbys. Absolutely. Rapid fire question number two, Jared, what's your favorite social media platform?
This one might get me into trouble, but Twitter. It's kind of where I've met a lot of people that I work with. I will say I feel like it's changing a little bit, so that answer may change in the near future, but Twitter has always been my favorite.
I appreciate that you're still calling it Twitter, because I still call it Twitter too. No, no, no fault. No fault, man. I don't care. I don't care. It's Twitter. I don't care.
I agree.
Rapid fire. Because what are you supposed to do? X? You're going to send an X? I mean, wait, give me a break. Communication. We're communicators. Give me a break. Rapid fire question number three, Jared. What do you prefer here, coffee or alcohol?
I actually do not drink alcohol, so it's coffee every day.
Love it. Rapid fire question number four. What is your favorite on the run food?
So my favorite here where I'm at is called Tropical Smoothie. It's a great place for like wraps, sandwiches, and of course, a great smoothie every day.
Dig it. Rapid fire question number five. What do you want to be after you finish this career?
Yeah. So if I had my choice, I'd love to own a small bookshop / coffee shop because they're my favorite places to sit down and just kind of relax. So I'd love to be an owner of one someday.
A little bit of Zen. We'll meet you at the coffee shop. Jared, this has been a great conversation. Please let people know how they can find you online.
Yeah, so you can find me on X or Twitter or Facebook under me.pr, whatever you want to call those. So that's my social media handle. You can also go to rangestrategygroup.com. That's my personal website. So those are probably the easiest ways to find me.
Fantastic. We'll look you up. Thanks again, Jared. And thank you, everyone, for listening. Please remember to subscribe to the show. Connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at The PR Podcast and send us a question or a comment. Our intro is by Christopher Apple. You can find him and his fantastic photography on Instagram at Christopher_APPOLDT. Check him out there and hire him for all your photography needs. You can find me online at Jody Fisher on all the socials and on the web at jodyfisherpr.com. We'll see you next time on the PR Podcast.